Okay, I think we're gonna get started. So, okay, so I talked about at the end of the last session, you know, so this part, you know, we've covered incorporating and obtaining tax exempt status. This part, we're gonna talk about insurance and liability issues. Diana's handing out part two, the outline, so that covers these, so follow along with that. Also, you know, as we talked about during the first part, you know, if you do have a question, I'm probably not gonna remember to repeat it. So if you could stand up and go to a microphone, because we're recording this, so everybody, you know, people that are listening to the tape later can hear the questions. So first part, we're gonna talk first about the NAR insurance program, which I'm not sure, was anybody familiar with this program before you came here today? Diana was, Diana and I. Oh, yes.
They all received the policy documentation in the spring.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Yeah, that wouldn't help right now.
Okay, right.
Really? Okay, wow.
Right.
So wow, okay.
You can go through it, but everyone, either you or your past president, has the documentation, and we will send it out again after this conference.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, you might want to wait. So it's an annual policy, you know, the year, it goes from January 1st to December 31st. So we're actually right now, that's next week at the NAR, or 2 weeks at the NAR conference, we're going to, it gets approved every year by the Legal Action Committee. So we're going to, you know, go through the renewal. We're going through the renewal process right now. So the new mailing, the new policy will be issued at January 1st of next year. So, and we sent it to, and Diana will get a copy, you know, we send it a copy to Diana every, you know, all the affiliates get it when we send out the mailing. So she'll get that at the beginning of next year. And so then, yeah, I'm sure she'll send it out to everybody again. So this program, you know, as you can see in the handout, the goal of this program is to cover NAR, it covers NAR, it covers SIOR, it covers, you know, all our realtor associations, it covers all, you know, the affiliate chapters when they're acting as a trade association. You know, we've designed the program to try to really be fairly comprehensive and cover most of the activities that are, it's mainly designed for the realtor associations, but, you know, mainly the activities they engage in. So it's not an off-the-shelf policy at all. It's got many different elements to it, custom-built that we've done. We've added things over the years. And so it really has a lot of components to it. So you can see, I mean, it's an E&O policy. So it covers the associations, you know, when they're providing services to the members, and would cover your chapters when you're providing services to the members. Covers D&O, which is directors and officers insurance. So when you're serving as a director of your association or chapter, you have this NAR insurance program. In addition, like we mentioned this morning, you know, you also will actually have some protection under state law too. A lot of states have these Good Samaritan laws, which your directors would be protected under as well. There's what's called EPLI, that's employment coverage. It doesn't sound like anybody's got any employees, but if you did have staff, yes.
Is this something that is, as chapters and chapter officers, that we're automatically done?
Yep. Okay. You're automatically covered. I'm sorry, yes. Thank you, Diana. The question was, are chapters, or SIR chapters, automatically covered through this program? And the answer is yes.
And as a director, or not a director, but an officer, you don't have to, we don't have to submit that to, like, be named on the policy. It's just whoever is serving in that capacity at that time.
That's correct, yes. The question was, do you have to do anything, your name, you know, send in lists of the officers or anything like that? And that, no, you do not. The chapter, you know, the policy has a definition of association, you know, which names SIOR, and it lists the different levels of the association, and it includes affiliates like SIOR chapters. So we're going to talk at the end. I've been working on this program now for 14 years. So at the end, I went back and looked. We've had 5 different claims involving affiliate chapters. So we'll talk about some of those claims. A couple are really eye-opening because it just shows, you know, why you want to do some of the stuff we've been talking about here today. But, you know, it also shows how the program works and, you know, how the chapters were, you know, insured through our program. So we're going to talk about some examples at the end. As I said, the coverage is no cost to the associations. You can actually you can increase the limits of the coverage. I don't think it's really necessary for any of your chapters. I mean, you know, it's $1 million coverage for most things that are listed in the policy, which is probably sufficient insurance. There are some areas that are limited, like employment's limited to 500,000, but none of you have employees, so that doesn't matter. You know, then there's also, we also have built in a few other coverages, which I'll talk about. The deductible, actually we've made that more of based on the number of members that an entity has. The lowest level is 3,000, and since SIR in its entirety has 3,000 members, so all your chapters would be at the lowest deductible level, so which is $3,000. So if you had a claim, you would have a $3,000 deductible through the program. I put the list, you know, Diana says she's mailing, you will get, she's gonna send you the program once we send out the new policy at the beginning of next year. Also, everything is on NAR's website, realtor.org. I put the URL there, so you could go there now and you could look up things. You know, I've got my phone number and email here, you know, like I run this program, so if anything ever comes up, just call me or call Diana and we can talk about what we need to do. One thing, you know, I do want to highlight is, and the first page there is number 7. I don't know if this is going to be a problem here, but a lot of sometimes our realtor associations aren't aware of this program or aren't aware of all the coverages, and they go out and buy their own insurance. And that actually really is not, it's not necessary, first of all, because they're already covered, and it can actually create a problem because we'll have two insurance policies answering to a claim. And so we've built a lot of custom stuff into this. Like, well, for example, one thing, we have choice of counsel. So, you know, we like to use counsel that are familiar with our associations and how our rules are applied and everything, so we can keep everything consistent across the country. But if you have two policies answering to a claim, one insurance company may not allow that. So I don't know if any of you buy insurance, but if you do buy insurance, I recommend that you make sure that you're not buying duplicative coverage, because it's not necessary, and it can create some problems when we're trying to cover a claim and make it, you know, make everything work the way we want it to work. Okay, so first we'll talk about the types of coverage available. So the most important clause in this policy is what we call Clause 1A, and it's a very, very broad language. And like I said, you know, it basically covers people acting on behalf of the association in their capacity in representing the association. So it's, you know, when they're, you know, I don't think you guys have disciplinaries, but for example, our realtor associations, when they're, you know, they're having hearings, they're having professional standards hearings, arbitration hearings, you know, when they're providing services to the members, directors, you know, making decisions to run the associations, all that stuff falls into this wrongful act definition. It's very broad, and, you know, this is really the most important part of this program. Other coverages that are available is what we call publisher's liability. So that will cover statements, you know, made in an association publication, on the association's website, you know, social media, all that stuff. It's covered in there. You know, cover defamation, anything like that. Again, a very broad coverage. All these 1A coverages are both defense and liability. Like I said, it's up to $1 million, and it's for both. So defense and liability run against it, but that's a pretty good amount of coverage. We've had very few claims that have ever gone the limit. I think we've had 4 or 5 in, you know, 20 years of this program that have gone over $1 million. And those are generally things probably you won't have to deal with, like antitrust claims or patent claims or something like that. Then we also have employment practices coverage, which, you know, none of you guys have employees, so it doesn't matter, but there is that coverage in there, and that is limited to $500,000. The next part is clauses 1B. These are specific coverages, and these are defense only. A lot of these coverages are more tailored to realtor associations, so I didn't list them all here because they won't matter to you, either MLS stuff or lockboxes and things like that. So stuff that your chapters won't be doing. The relevant ones are antitrust, endorsement of a product or affinity program. I don't know if you guys, it's actually, that one probably is relevant to you guys. So that you'd be covered there. Again, it's only defense only. Right now, there's breach of contract coverage in the program. This is actually something, you know, like I said, we're going through the renewal right now, so this is going to change a little bit. So next year it's going to be $50,000 per claim, $50,000 per claim for this coverage. So this is an important one because, you know, this one, you know, would cover more of your business activity. So, you know, you get in a dispute with a sponsor, you know, whatever, you know, they sue you for the services provided, you know, that this coverage was there, was up to $1 million before, but we've had some bad claims the last couple of years. So we're cutting this one back a little, but it's still got $50,000 of coverage, so it's there. It's not totally out of the program, but it's been lit. We've reduced it going forward. Next is 1C. I don't think this one's probably super relevant to you guys, but if your computer system's attacked in some way, this will provide you with compensation to help rebuild the system and recover data. Another thing we have is basic crime coverage. This covers employees embezzling money. You'd be shocked at how many claims we've had in this the last year. I mean, we've had a lot. This one is just paying for losses. So there's a $10,000 per claim of a loss. There's a $3,000 deductible. So basically, you have to prove a $13,000 loss. You know, the insurance company will require you to file a police report. Sometimes people don't want to make these things public, so that that some people have an issue with that, but they do require that, and you have to sign an affidavit verifying the loss. So this has been we had this about 5 years ago. This has actually been a valuable coverage because, you know, probably, I bet your chapters are prime for this too. You know, a lot of our really, really small associations are prime targets for embezzlement. And, you know, they find, you know, all it takes is they'll find one strange check, they'll start looking, and all of a sudden, you know, it's thousands and thousands of dollars have been taken over the years. So, and we actually even had an affiliate chapter that, not an SIOR chapter, but another one of our affiliates had $30,000 stolen from it by an employee. Amazingly, I laughed when they told me this. The chapter decided not to press charges because the woman claimed she was going to pay it all back within 3 months. And, you know, we all laughed, like, oh yeah, we're going to see that money. She actually did. I couldn't believe it. She actually paid it up. She got it all. She paid it all back, and so they never had to press charges. And, you know, it's all resolved. But that was surprising because usually this money, I mean, usually they have a gambling problem, or, you know, there's a somewhere where this money is going, and they're not going to get it back. We even had one claim where we have a realtor association executive who was actually in jail. She had her house taken. I mean, we've had some real bad ones lately with this. So anyway, so the crime coverage is there. The coverage is triggered not only by the filing of a lawsuit, that's the usual, the way it's triggered, but it also can be filed by government investigative notice. So if you get a letter from the Justice Department or the FTC, coverage starts right away. You don't have employees, but, you know, it could come from a, you know, state civil rights agency as well. So coverage is not just for lawsuits, it actually can cover demand letters too. If there's a dispute brewing, the insurance company will start the coverage just to try to keep it out of court. Let's see. One thing this could come up, I mean, one thing they do provide coverage for if the chapter reported someone for a license law violation. I guess that probably doesn't happen much in the commercial area, but that's something that's come up over the years, so that is covered through the program. ADA claims, you know, so that could, and Americans with Disabilities Act, I'm sure you guys are all familiar with that. So I don't know if you had an event and, you know, somebody claimed they weren't accommodated, you know, there is coverage for that through the program. So who is covered under the program? So like I said, the goal is to cover anyone who's acting on behalf of the association. So it definitely covers, you know, members when they're serving as a director or officer or serving on a committee. Covers association staff, you know, when they're acting for the association. And it can even cover independent contractors acting on behalf of the association. So, you know, if you had somebody, you know, organizing a meeting or something like that, you know, and there was a breach of contract claim or something like that, you know, there would be coverage in that instance for that individual. Charitable foundations, we discussed that a little this morning. There is coverage for that. There's no requirement that it needs to be organized in a particular way, but it has to have a purpose like a 501c3, which, like we discussed this morning, you know, is your traditional charity. So it has to have a purpose, and like, and it also has to be wholly, it has to be part of the association, part of the chapter. It can't be, you know, a foundation run with three other groups. It has to be the chapter's foundation. But there is coverage for that. We actually have had claims, believe it or not, from charitable organizations. So those are covered under the program. Association PACs are covered. So if you have a PAC, that's covered through the program. And also wholly owned subsidiaries of a association or chapter would be covered. So I don't know if you guys have any subsidiaries, but those are, as long as they're 100% owned by the chapter, then they're covered. you know, an issue that comes up with realtor associations, there's some MLSs that the brokers own part of it, you know, the associations own part and the brokers own part of it, you know, and those were not covered through our program. So if you had some for-profit entity, just keep in mind if you want to have this coverage, it has to be literally owned 100% by the chapter. It can't be, you know, it can't be partially owned by some of the members. And that also could bring up that, we talked about enormous this morning, that also could bring up enormous issues if, you know, members are involved in the association's business and profiting. Exclusions, so these are the important areas. These are what you should focus on because you do not have coverage for these things. So it's the liability claims is the main area. So the property claims, I don't know, does anyone own buildings? Probably not. Do you, or office space? No. So if you own an office space, you definitely should. But you know, you should also, but liability insurance, you know, you should have, in, if you don't even have a comprehensive policy, you know, you can buy it on an event base. So if you have, you know, the, if you have the Christmas party, you know, you can buy cover, you can buy insurance for that event. You know, you want to make sure it covers everything. Like, for example, if you're serving alcohol, you need to make sure that a claim arising from that is covered, you know, or other, in other types of events, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're, you have adequate insurance. So you could either buy a policy annually, or you could buy it an event by event basis. ERISA claims are excluded. That doesn't sound like that matters to anybody here. Yeah, if you, I don't know if you endorse other insurance products for the members, you know, if you offer health insurance to the members or anything like that. If you do, you need to consult.